Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
All right, there's so much to get to. The phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. Also, if you want to watch Waddle's head explode when we talk about the Bears quarterback situation.
I'm past it.
The Derby's dumb.
Yeah.
The Derby is dumb and done.
I would suggest that you guys actually, I think you guys were a day late for everybody getting overwhelmed by it. I think Abdallah lost his you-know-what. You lost your you-know-what.
It's a little bit frustrating. And you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app. Follow us on It's a new way to watch, listen, and interact with not only us, but fellow listeners.
Is there a glitch?
Yeah, there was
a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, it sounded like Sylvie.
Sylvie's line had enough of the conversation?
Yeah.
I'm a robot.
Yeah, nice.
Am I back?
I like that.
Is that okay?
Am I back?
That was good.
On the air?
Yeah, is this good?
So it had a glitch for a second.
Yeah, you sounded robotic.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Roboto. Yeah, that's what you sounded like.
Dennis, didn't we have Dennis DeYoung on recently?
We did when we had our contest for the most famous person to call in.
We love talking. He's a huge Bears fan.
Yeah, he was great.
By the way, I had Kevin Butler's been reacting to some of the poll questions.
Yeah. I saw that the other day.
And today, he reacted to the I have a poll question out there, brought to you by Toyota. I asked, what is your favorite Bears quarterback derby of recent memory? And I put Foles Trubisky. I put Kramer versus Walsh. I have Rex versus Orton. And then I have Cutler versus McCown. And he went off the board because I said, tweet me with your others. And he went with Doug Flutie and Jim McMahon.
Yeah. He had a front row seat for that one. He probably found it amusing.
I thought he would have said Pinheiro versus Santos.
Oh, yeah, with the kicking derby.
Not a quarterback competition.
I know. We talked to Butthead like five times last year because of the dumb kicker.
Butthead's a great dude to talk to.
Yes, he is. But when did you think that in your radio, illustrious radio career, when we'd be talking to Kevin Butler, not one, but multiple times.
We were just trying, like
kicker.
You said, we were trying to take our attention off the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Propaganda, man. Yeah.
Hey, Abdallah, the first, I was on the Bears beat. My first summer on the Bears beat, I was covering the Kevin Butler, Carlos Huerta kicking derby.
Yes.
I actually covered a kicking derby with Kevin Butler participating. And Dave Wanstead did not want Kevin Butler to win. That was set up for Carlos Huerta to win it. And Carlos Huerta made the team, and he pooped down his leg early in the season.
Which is not good for a kicker to poop down his leg.
How do you set it up for them to win? Do you, like, alter the distances?
All right, let's have a competition. Carlos, you're kicking 25 and in. Kevin, you're going from 63 and back.
You deflate the football a little bit? Like,
well, Waddle could tell you firsthand that when Wani came here, that he hated all things Ditka Bears. He did not like the Ditka Bears. And he wanted to turn this thing into the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas North.
Yes. But the problem was Dave Wanstead was no Jimmy Johnson. He wanted to do things like Jimmy. But, boy, it's like Jim Boylan talking about Pop. Not quite that bad. Like, Dave could coach. Jim Boylan couldn't.
Dave was a fantastic defensive coach.
But, yes, he could not be Jimmy Johnson.
Well, there's only a handful of Jimmy Johnsons in the history of the sport.
So his first year here,
all of you.
Right. And I don't know why. I think you were gone, Waddle, by this time. There was a game, I want to say, in like 95.
I was done.
Pittsburgh, I want to say, and Kevin Butler cost the Bears an important game. 94-95 was one of those years, and he cost them a game. And ever since then, Wani wanted Butthead out. So then he set up a competition between Carlos Huerta, who, by the way, went to the University of Miami.
Yes.
And who coached at the University of Miami?
Dave did. Yeah.
With Jimmy Johnson,
yes.
Who he wanted to be. So he wanted Carlos Huerta to win the deal. He fixed the competition, and Carlos Huerta pooped down his leg.
Did he finish the season as the Bears kicker?
No, I think he was cut like two games in or something.
How'd that go?
And I think that started.
And then
like,
Kevin went to Arizona, I think.
Yes. And then the Bears like took forever to just find a kicker. They would just go from like one guy to the next.
Was Paul Edinger ultimately the guy that landed the spot for the extended period of time after?
I think was Jeff Jaeger before, or I think Jeff Jaeger was before Paul Edinger, wasn't he? I think Jaeger came in and he sort of stabilized it for a little bit.
Kicker talk.
Okay, I know.
It's that propaganda, man. You see what you've been doing? We spent 6 minutes on it.
Here's the point, Abdallah. The point is, we've been arguing about stupid competitions in this town with the Bears that have not provided fruit ever.
I'm telling you this, Sylvie. Tomorrow is your last chemo treatment. And hopefully it goes swimmingly.
It will.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're so positive. Hopefully it will go swimmingly.
I said it will.
It will. I'm saying it will. And tomorrow on the Waddle and Sylvie program, as it is Waddle with the two
Chip and Dip.
With Chip and Dip, yes. With the two kids. The two kids.
You guys aren't kids either. You guys are getting older.
It is not. We're the young guns. We're the kids. We're the children.
Well, they're still living in mom's basement, so maybe they're not technically kids, but...
Yeah. Tomorrow...
Or a quarterback-free zone?
...is a Bears quarterback-free zone.
What if they name a quarterback?
Then we'll cover the story.
The asterisk is yes.
Do I need to remind you that in my last chemo treatment 3 weeks ago, that was the day we woke up to the news that Jim Boylan had been fired? And what have I compared the quarterback competition to?
So you may be calling into the show at some point tomorrow.
I would love that.
Hey, jerkies! Make sure you're talking quarterbacks!
That's all you're doing to my show!
I turn it over to you guys, and you guys are talking about something not quarterback-related! What did we do last time? Last Friday?
You guys were doing dinger dongs.
I need to take a pause. Like the dinger dollars are gone right now. Like I need some dingers.
I mean, Sylvie, during the breaks, Waddle is screaming at this terrible Cubs Pirates game.
It was bad today.
Oh, the Twitchers missed it. He destroyed a pair of headphones because Hayward missed a home run by the
way. I wasn't mad at Jay Hay.
He doubled it, just didn't get out of the park. It went off the wall. That is like the
story of my gambling, though, going all the way back to Cleveland, where we're sitting in the stands on the third baseline. Schwarber plays his first game since, you know, completely blowing out his knee. I make how much did I bet on that? It was 40-1. I made a $100 bet that Schwarber would be the first home run of the game. So it was worth $4,000. And he hit that ball.
And look, that was a gutsy bat because we didn't know what Schwarber was going to do. We didn't know he was going to hit 412.
I'm not going to lie to you. We're sitting in the studios in Cleveland, right? At that time, I'm like, here's a good radio bit. I'm going to play $100 on Schwarber to be the first Cub to hit a home run at 40-1. Like, that was a $100 bit call. That was a radio bit. Like, I'm sitting in the stands and he hits that ball, and Meller had the video running. Well, he had the wisdom to say, "Hey, you don't mind if I film you while Schwarber's at the plate?" And I'm like, "Whatever. This is just, you know, I put $100 down just for, you know, what's in giggles." And next thing you know, Schwarber takes a mighty whack, and that ball's flying. And damn, if you just a few feet
high off the wall, right? Double.
Yes, it was worth $4,000 if it goes over the
fence.
$4,000.
And so how much did you have on Jay Hay hitting home run today?
I just had $10.
$10.
Yeah.
Same feeling, though.
6-1.
Six to one, though. It was worth $60.
Feel the same. All the losses.
They do.
Same feeling.
$100 or $10. It feels the same.
Oh, yeah. God, I got a problem.
Yeah. You know what's here's the funny part about that is you have a problem right now, and football starts next week. So I've already played
my bets for the tonight's basketball games. I took Doug Kazarian's advice, and I already put my bets down on my DraftKings app.
There's you got Clippers first half.
Clippers first half.
Over.
Yeah.
You know there's college football tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's directional football.
Who cares?
It's football.
Hey! Whoa!
Pigskin! Elitist!
Elitist!
Tom the direction Otto from Boston BS. College. Look at him go. Elitist.
I was going to directional school.
Can only watch the NFL and the ACC. Look at him, Mr. Waddle.
My point is I haven't been able to save him. And by the way, Central Arkansas played last week and won.
No positive tests.
I can't find a line on the game.
So they were waiting because UAB was awaiting their testing results, but they came back and they're all negative. So
I'm in. Let's go.
There should be a line.
Let's make
shortly.
A wager.
There's a line on the other game of two directional schools.
Whoa!
I'm just saying it is. That's what it is. It's literally two. At least the other one is UAB.
Don't you feel more confident making an NBA bet?
No.
Than you do a Central Arkansas
football.
UAB bet?
Football.
Well, I'm going to love watching it, but like thinking that you've made a good wager?
How are you going to handle
that? It's just a coin flip.
Sundays when I send out a 9-team teaser. Are you going to be able to handle
this? I'm in, bro. I'm in.
Abdallah, is he going to?
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's teasers.
You're going to self-destruct when we start sending out teasers left and right.
You just said the word teaser and my nipples got hard.
Woo, baby. We're like a week away from it.
I just got a little buzz in my body, too. Like a little woo.
Somebody
just went up my backside.
Can you imagine Waddle with the red zone for the first week of football now that he's got an app to gamble?
Like here's the deal, too.
How many bets is he going to have out on the
first week? This is the first year since I quit playing in 1994 where I have no Sunday commitment at all.
Like not even after the game?
Not even after the game.
That just means you're unemployed.
That's why he's gambling.
It does, but it just means I can lay my fat ass on my couch all day on Sunday. You know what I do? While the weather's good, I play an early 18 holes of golf. I get home just in time to lay down on the couch, and it's DraftKings gambling Sunday. That's what it is.
You're going to, I'm telling you, you're going to, you're going to gamble yourself silly.
What are you, napping by the third quarter? How early are you waking
up? I don't nap. I'm not a napper. I've told you that in the past. I can't sleep during the day. I'm like a weird animal. Is there an animal that can't sleep during the day? That's me.
It's the opposite of nocturnal.
Yes.
Every animal that's not nocturnal?
Yeah. Like, I can't sleep during the day. You'd have to hit me over the head with a brick to get me to not be awake during the day.
And by the way, in case you missed it, we're all stoned for this show. So
not that true. That's not true. Have you been eating the gummies?
No. That's tomorrow. Someone said in the Twitch chat that I should call in after I've had the gummies. I don't do that until bedtime, though.
I wouldn't do that. 7:30. Don't do that.
I will tweet out a picture of the gummy bear.
And then put your phone away after you've consumed.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. I don't tweet after that. Yeah. I just, as soon as I consume it, the gummy bear tweet with the GIF goes out. And then my phone goes night-night, and then hopefully I do.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
312-332-3776.
You know, we never got to the NBA, but we're going to talk NBA. Plus, I have a chicken story.
Chicken.
That comes with audio as well.
Okay, we'll get to that next. Waddle right before the break with an interesting tease. So chicken, and what else did you want to get after the NBA playoffs, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about. Do you want the chicken story first?
Yeah, I don't know what you're...
Well, let me read you a piece of this, and then I think that Chris has some audio, don't you, Chris?
Yes, sir.
A Lincoln man, are you talking Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lincoln, Nebraska man spoke passionately at a recent city council meeting about the improper use of a term used in restaurants and bars across the world. The term boneless chicken wings. Lincoln resident Ander Christensen spoke during the public comment period of the meeting, encouraging society to rebrand the popular food item.
All right, guys. So here he is in front of the Lincoln City Council talking about how upset he is because of the descriptor.
Boneless chicken wings.
My name is Andrew Christensen. I live at 1212 Twin Ridge Road. Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Saucy nugs.
We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Well done, Ander.
That's a bit, though, right? He did a bit.
We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Wet tenders?
Saucy nugs.
He's 100%
correct. He is correct.
He's 100% correct.
I'm not sure he should have wasted the time of a council meeting on that when we have other issues.
It's Lincoln. But that's not very nice either. But he's 100% correct. Boneless wings are like halfway between a chicken tender and a chicken nugget. It's like it's either a mini tender or a maxi nug.
Excuse me? We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Why trash? Why trash?
Because he clearly doesn't like them.
Well, I do like them. They're not trash. Hey, can I get a 12-piece of hot trash?
Are you a flats or drums guy?
Yes.
I'm a drums guy.
I like them both. I would probably go flats.
The drums meatier.
Are you a boneless or bone guy?
I like the boneless because it's easier.
Oh, you like chicken nuggets?
Because I'm young. I'm not young anymore. So I don't like
boneless. With all the germs going around, I don't sit and like to eat with my hands. That's the last thing I want to do. Get all the sauce on my hands.
Is that where all the flavor's coming from? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
It's all got, ingredients.
Chicken on the bone.
You know why? This is why. Have you ever seen how a chicken nugget is made?
No, I don't want to know how sausage
depends
is made.
Depends where you Google get it from.
Google it.
No.
Well, I'm telling you, you Google it once, and then you're like, okay, I'm with the bone. Let's bone.
Yeah.
No. Let's get the bone.
Nope. Let's
get the bone.
Yeah, you do that.
Easy, big fella.
A chicken bone.
There's a group of two guys.
What Fridays are like when you're not around?
You guys turned this on earlier
today. You're getting the window in.
You can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Yeah. But I don't do this for Waddle's World, and we said, no, you need to let this breathe.
You got to give it
this
its own segment.
This is a national story.
This guy was ripping off, I think, the Party Boys. Do you remember I sent you guys the video of these two guys who are in California trying to give out free masks? And they sound like Bill and Ted.
Yes.
These guys go around to different council meetings in California, and they try and set up weird, like, laws and different things. I think while this guy was right, I think he was trying to get publicity. And he was ripping off the Party Boys.
Well, it's not like he's got a SoundCloud rapper or album he's putting out. He's a concerned citizen.
He's not concerned.
No, he's not.
He took offense. By the way, did
you hear when people were laughing at him? How offended he was. He took offense.
I would too. If I'm making
an
argument, I've
got a serious matter here.
I identify with this guy because when I try to make a legitimate argument, I get laughed at and naysayed. Is what I get.
You should
because
listen
you're
to your
a jackass half the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true either.
Hey, the whole David Blaine thing?
You guys are boneless.
Can I give you the stats here from last night's basketball game? Everyone's been saying no one's interested in the NBA anymore. Yesterday's Thunder Rockets game, game seven, and then we could talk about some of the controversy with last night. Last night's Thunder Rockets game seven was the most watched NBA game since January 31st, before COVID. It was the most watched first round playoff game on cable since 2018, and it was the most watched first round playoff game on ESPN since 2017. And five of the 11 most watched NBA games have come since suspension of play.
Let me add this. Like, remember, a lot of these games have been played during the day.
That's what I wanted to say.
So, okay. So
go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, like,
say at the
so
same
it
time.
Has to. They're played during the day. that has to affect the. You know, the ratings.
No general sports fan was able to get into a rhythm to watch the NBA. Nobody who really wasn't an NBA diehard knew which game was on when, which network.
Right.
Sometimes they're playing at 2:30. Sometimes they're on at 5. Now that we're whittling this thing down, we're getting primetime basketball back on ESPN and TNT. And you know that you've got some good NBA games coming on. And I would suspect that these games are going to start doing better ratings.
I agree with you. Listen, I mean, once you're done with e-learning, you want to grab a bite to eat with the family, and then you want to be left the hell alone for a while.
Well, what's also good is you have these West Coast games that normally, quote, West Coast games,
right,
that would normally be starting at 9:30 Central.
Yeah,
8 o'clock Central. So you can still get some of that East Coast market that's not starting a basketball game at 10:30 at night.
So did you see the part where last night's Game 7 was the largest audience for a cable sports program since the draft?
No, I did not see that.
So since April 23rd, when the NFL draft was on ESPN, last night's Rockets Thunder game was the biggest audience.
Well, again, it was the timing was perfect. Wasn't like, played during the day.
I've thought this the entire time, too. As an NBA fan, as someone who spends my morning looking up all the different scores and the seeding and everything going into the playoffs, I thought it was confusing what the heck they were doing in the bubble before the playoffs started.
I'm with you 100%.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm a, in air quotes, a basketball guy. Like,
they play exhibition games, basically.
And it was, and the way that the league kind of gave that to the consumer, I think, was confusing as well.
I think maybe the consumer thought that that's what you were going to get for the entirety. I think the consumer, you know, listen, we
playoff series are real, and the players are taking it seriously. It's almost as if we are watching a tournament at an AAU event, and everyone is giving it their all.
I think it took a while for people to kind of realize, okay, now it starts for real. And I also believe that all of the afternoon games hurt their overall ratings. And by the way, that NBA coverage that we brought to you, which was spectacular, brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything. And by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
James Harden is also very polarizing. And I think that had a little bit to do with it last night.
What a block.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot. Does he look bigger to you at all, Waddle? I was asking, what do you guys...
I mean, I don't think he looks like... hasn't...
Like he's gained some weight.
A little pudgy? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Some bubble pounds?
I don't know if he's gained bubble pounds. Like,
really? Bubble pounds?
He looked like he was not
shooting
well.
What else would you call it? Disney
pounds? No. I'm just saying, like...
Up top, he looked a little thicker to me.
Maybe he's working out.
Maybe that's all they got to do there.
I would think when you're not eating the food that you normally would you would want to eat, that maybe you're not putting weight on.
All right, we're going to play Matt Nagy, and if you're watching on Twitch, you could watch Waddle's head explode. If you want to react to any of the sports that happened today, there is a lot going on. The Cubs lost. We'll recap everything going on and get you up to date on where the Bears are in their search for a starting quarterback. Beautiful day in the city of Chicago.
Don't bring me down.
Yeah, well, the Cubs brought us down today, and Waddle missed on some bats.
Oh, gosh, it was such a bad play. I didn't even recognize that it was 68 degrees and rainy out in Pittsburgh. before I made all these plays. Yes, because the ball doesn't fly as far in that type of weather versus it being an 85-degree day in, you know, more of a summer atmosphere. Come on, you know that. Ball flies differently.
Yeah.
Seriously.
6-2 Cubs lose today. So they don't get the sweep against the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. I think the Pirates have like 11 wins.
Worst record in all of Major League Baseball.
Right. Now, Moncada's in the lineup for the White Sox tonight as they take on Kansas City. But he did say that, you know, he hasn't been right. And we've been wondering why. And we've asked this to Chuck Garfine and also to Jason Benetti. And they said, you know what, we're not sure because of the access these days. Moncada said today that his body and his energy level have not been right since COVID. Remember, he tested positive for COVID during the training camp period, during summer camp.
And there's listen, we're not doctors, but you hear stories of people that basically have little to no symptoms, and then other people that have, you know, really bad symptoms. So
yes, it affects everyone differently. So it makes it real. When you hear a guy like is healthy and as good of a shape as Yoan Moncada is, saying that he still doesn't feel right, it's also why, going back to the Corey Crawford performance, why I thought it was a huge ask to do the, like Corey Crawford, and some people were criticizing a soft goal here and there. And I'm like, dude, he just hit COVID and he had no practice time. And now all of a sudden he's playing in a postseason. And I thought it was remarkable what he did coming off of COVID. So just another side note there. And then there's the Bears. Here's what worries me, Waddle, and this is worrying about you. This is me worrying about you. You're tired already of the quarterback conversation. You're tired of all the calls as to why Trubisky will start or, hey, guys, this is the reason Foles is going to start.
I think once it begins, though, I'm going to be okay.
That's what I'm worried about with you.
No.
Because I don't think once it begins, this is going anywhere. I don't think if they choose Foles that Foles is going to start 16 games. And I don't think that if Trubisky's the starter somehow, some way, that he's going to be able to retain the job. And I think we're, like, again, we know where we're in. We're not in the land of goodness. We're in the land of mediocrity.
Well, that's why it won't be that bad, because I don't have unrealistic expectations. My head exploding, the issue with me, I just think this is all the nonsense of it all. Like, I feel like I'm living in some sort of simulation where we don't know who our quarterback's going to be. I mean, come on. I don't really buy that. I know Dan Weider. I asked him straight out, and Dan's as good as we get. He doesn't think they know. I find that ridiculously hard to believe. So
what would you, if you had to set the over-under right now, let's go around the room, over-under on when the first in-season quarterback change will take place? So I'm not, we don't know who the starter's going to be.
Well, I think, well, you know what? Okay.
For injury, for whatever reason, we're setting the, where should the over-under be for the first quarterback change?
Okay, like, we are a big nuanced show, okay? Like, I take sometimes pride in that. Well, I think that, you know, it's not everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray in the world of sports. I live in the gray. That's where my brain always goes to, not to one extreme or to the other. Now, to answer that question, it's difficult to answer, because I think if Matt announces that Mitch is your starter, I think there's going to be a very, very short leash. I think if Nick is announced as your starter, the leash isn't going to be as short. Nick will come out because of injury before he'll come out because of bad play.
But we know, watching Nick Foles during a regular season, that there are going to be some slow games. He's not spectacular all the time.
Yeah, no. but you don't immediately say, okay, we go to Mitch now because he plays poorly.
No,
once.
Like what I'm saying, I feel strongly that the leash for Mitch, if he's announced as the starting quarterback, and then he's going to get a chance to play against the Lions, where I think his stats are ridiculous. So, I mean, if Mitch is out there, there's a good chance, if the trend continues, he's going to play well. Then they get the Giants. Whatever. However it goes. I'm just telling you, I believe the leash is shorter for Mitch from Matt Nagy than with Nick Foles. If Nick gets the call against the Lions and doesn't look great, I don't believe they're going to Mitch right away. I think they're going to be more patient with Nick. And they'll give you a number of different excuses as to why. I think the only way Nick comes out in the first month of the season is if he's hurt. Like, I don't think Matt gives Mitch a month of bad play.
He left the. When did he leave the game in Jacksonville? First quarter?
Yeah.
Or was that the second quarter game?
Yeah, I mean, his collarbone broke. I know.
Stuff happens.
I know. It wasn't like he pulled a hammy or, you know, he got a, you know, a different muscle.
So when are you setting it? Week three?
That's my point. You got to let me know who's. I think the answer is different with the starter.
Is there something we can all agree on that flip-flopping back and forth between the two all season long, that's not going to work for anybody?
It's going to suck. No, that means it's a terrible year.
Okay. I will tell you when it's going to be. If there is bad quarterback play, and it will be too long, but if there is bad quarterback play, regardless of the quarterback, it will be Sunday, October 18th. Why, you ask? Because they have the extended time off after the Thursday night game against Tampa Bay.
It's the reason why I predicted that Mitch would get his first start that Monday night game against the Vikings.
Because they played the Thursday night
before. Because they played the Thursday night before.
And they have 10 days to get ready for the next game. You have 10 days for a guy to take first
team reps. You think, Abdallah, that guy who starts will start all the way through
then?
Well,
they gave, look, Mariota was on a short leash. They gave him 6 games.
Okay.
And he went 2-4. So I'm not saying it's the right move, but I think that that's my educated guess because of the extra time. I don't think you're going to give him the Tampa Bay game because that's a short week.
Now we're counting if we go to because of injury or we're going to the backup because the starter's struggling in that game and they go, hey, let's go to the lefty out of the pen. And I know neither of them.
Okay, but
that's my point.
But you want us all on the record with a date, right?
Yes.
So Abdallah gave you the 18th.
When would you set the over-under?
But then again, let me also say this to what Abdallah said. If injury is part of the equation, then the timing is insignificant.
This is just poor play.
Okay.
Poor play.
That's why I'm saying this is a nuanced conversation, unlike
any. I'm going to predict that Nick Foles breaks his collarbone in the third quarter of the Atlanta game. You can't predict injury, so we just have to predict bad play.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you this, Sylvie. I'll give you earlier than what Abdallah gave you, week three.
That's when I was going to say, by week three, yes.
Because if they don't do it then that means Foles is the starter from the get-go, and he's going to be the starter all season.
I think Waddle's got a point, though, about the Foles. With Foles, you can just say, look, new system, new players, doesn't have the chemistry. We're all trying to get on the same page. With Mitch,
now,
would be like, oh, geez, we're seeing the same stuff again.
Somebody may say, that's not fair. I'm not denying that, but there's no such thing as fair in football. So I'm just telling you, if you ask me to do this, I have a belief that the leash will be longer for Nick Foles than it will be for Mitch.
Okay.
So if Mitch gets the starting nod and doesn't play well, he's coming out quicker than if Nick gets the starting nod and isn't playing well.
312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in, the baseball show is coming up at 6. I've got my first fantasy draft of the year tonight.
Oh, really?
Looking for we could discuss that coming up as well. And your phone calls next. In every Jeff Meller fantasy football league I'm in, the draft order always sucks.
I was going to say, there's always an argument, isn't there? I mean, it starts off with an argument, doesn't it?
Yeah, Carmen and Merck witnessed when they did the automated draft selection. I mean, what would you guys say is the worst pick you could have in a 12-team league?
7.
Nine. I'm no good at this, so I don't know.
Black, you said. I think any of those, I'm 9th. Like, it doesn't give you the pizzazz of being 12th where you got the snake pick.
Doubler.
Like, you're just kind of, you don't have an early first half pick, and then you're waiting, and then you're in no man's land.
Get yourself a defense or a kicker then if you're not happy with it.
What are you talking about, a defense or a kicker?
Are you
being serious?
No. Patrick Mahomes.
So we be the guy and just only take Bears.
No, that's Harry. That was a Harry Tynowitz bet.
If you were to draft a Bears quarterback at number 7, which quarterback would you draft?
Nick Foles.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wait. Did you say you have the 9th pick?
The 9th pick for number 9.
Maybe you should take Nick Foles.
Support the cause.
Yeah.
Do it for the team.
Yeah. Do it for the fandom. Yeah. I mean, you're going to win no money.
How committed are you, Sylvie?
Yeah.
Don't be selfish.
How big is your staley? I thought you were a fan.
Show it.
How big is your staley? That's what I coined today.
When all these Bears fans
compare their staley. My staley's bigger than your staley. Oh, yeah? Well, I've been a Bears fan since 80. Oh, yeah? Well, you're a negative fan, and I'm always drinking the Kool-Aid and think they're going to go 14-2.
Sounds like somebody got triggered today.
You wouldn't take Mahomes. Are you?
I would. I just take him to say, have him on my team.
You would? You're not in the belief that all the fantasy experts say, wait on the quarterback.
Well, it depends on your scoring.
I mean, who's your quarterback?
Well, none right now.
I'm just saying, if you got a chance to be.
I don't have a quarterback. It makes it fun to cheer for Mahomes.
Yes.
Who's your quarterback?
What?
The draft hasn't started yet.
Well, I'm saying, who do you want? Who's your guy?
It's how the draft. Listen, if he goes, you got to go in there like Ryan Pace. No plan.
That's my point.
However the draft board falls,
overcompensate. Yeah, I know everyone says it's too early to take a quarterback. Overcompensate.
What does Pace say? Have a player cloud? Is he in your cloud?
You should have all your plays from last year wallpapered out of your.
I think everything's just basement. Cloudy, is all it is.
BU all over the wall. With all my non-run.
Is it virtual? Is it, like, I know it's online, but is it, like, do you guys have, like, a Zoom? Or is it going to be,
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, man, because if you could have busted out a visor, that would have been awesome.
Is there a lot of money at stake in this?
This is our ESPN 1000 league, the one that we've been a part of
the invite. Okay, great.
No, you've never been in this league.
It's the ESPN 1000 league where half of the people have left ESPN 1000.
You're right. There's, like, half the people are gone now. So.
Is there a large entry fee?
There was one sales guy too does well who was suggesting that we lower the entry fee.
See, Bleck and I co-owned a team 1 year, and I think we came in dead last.
That never works well.
We came in dead last because we just stopped looking.
Sylvie, you used to own a team with Adam Delavitt, didn't you?
Right,
and you guys probably always fought, didn't you?
Well, he's disagreeable to begin with. But as much as you get along with Bleck, Abdallah, isn't that...
No, it wasn't.
It takes the fun out of it.
It's not that we disagreed. We never disagreed on anything. We just didn't care.
Right.
It got to the point where we were like, oh, man, I forgot to change my roster. I just don't...
You would have cared if you were wearing a nude suit down the street.
See, the problem is I enjoy the draft process. I like the draft. I like sitting there for 2.5 hours and drafting. I don't care about the regular season.
I don't like anything about draft.
Oh, I love it.
I like the draft.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah. You sit around in 12 rounds and watch everybody get picked but yourself back in the late 80s. It's just like anything associated with the draft. I'm just like, nope, keep it.
I sure.
Marlo doesn't even like draft beer. It's got to be in a can or bottle.
No, I'll drink draft beer. You put a beer in front of me, I'm drinking it. I'm not going to let that go by. Come on now. I'm not stupid.
So I've got that tonight, and then I wanted to thank everybody who's been on this journey with me.
Tomorrow!
And look, there's still work to be done, but tomorrow, in case you haven't heard, tomorrow is my final round of chemo. So I have that tomorrow, and I wanted to just thank everybody along the way. Whether when you call the show and you say, Sylvie Strong, or whether you've bought the shirt from Obvious Shirts, and we've raised money together for everybody, for the V Foundation, or you've just slid into my DMs.
Yeah.
And you've DM'd me or whatever the case may be. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? I don't mean to get too personal, but
no.
What happens after tomorrow's treatment? So last treatment.
Right. So I have a last treatment tomorrow. We rescan, and the scan that they took after the third treatment looked great.
Excellent.
So, you know, we still have to rescan, and then I have an appointment in about a month. And then I believe you scan like every 6 months.
Okay.
And then obviously the further you get away from it, the better the outlook is. But, you know, just you take it. Tracy Butler and Eddie Olczyk, who have both gone through this before me. And you know me, Waddle. I am not a one day at a time guy. Never have been.
Right.
I'm always looking at the future. I'm always zooming out. That they truly told me you just take one day at a time. You take one step in front of the other. And if I would have taken this looking ahead, never would I have been able to accomplish it. It's just amazing, all the appointments and all the different tests and all the different things you put your body through. But that's the way I'm just going to approach this. Is,
well, we're proud of you, my friend. You've taken the most unbelievable approach to this. It's honorable. It's been fantastic in terms of watching you handle this situation the way you have. You've inspired a lot of people.
Never did I think that I'd be going on this journey, and let alone doing it publicly. But I appreciate everybody. I mean, Waddle, you know, you mean the world to me. You've been like a big brother to me. And Abdallah and Black, we've worked together for so many years, and everybody at the one, I have a picture in front of me that I broadcast from home of. It's with Cap and Merck and Carmen and Danny and Black and Abdallah and Yurko and Waddle and Meller. I mean, the station's been with me the entire way, the GKB family, and I've got something from Greg Braggs, who sent me stuff from the bar room, from everyone wearing the Sylvie Strong shirt. So again, it's just one day at a time, but tomorrow's a big day in this one day at a time journey, and I could not have done it without friends like you guys and the support group that I've had and the listeners and, of course, my family.
Well, we're pulling for you as we have been all along, but certainly tomorrow is a milestone day for you, so go get them, Tiger.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, thank you to Bleck and Abdallah and our two guests today, Dan Weeder and Doug Kazarian. The baseball show is coming up next. Preview of tonight's White Sox game and a look back on tonight's this afternoon's disappointing Cubs loss. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night. It's the classic.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.